I'd like to say good morning to everyone that is present. Want to extend a welcome to any of the guests that we may have in our audience this morning. And it was, as it was forestated, that Brother Allen is out of town, and he will be back in town probably this week sometime. But for today, I'll be filling in this morning, and Brother Jeff will be filling in this evening. Our scripture reading will come from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, the chapter 8, and starting at verse 1, about verse 3, and then verse 8. Nehemiah read and explains the law. And these individuals were under the law at this time. And it says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street. That was before the water gates. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded of Israel. And Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3 said, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could hear, understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Verse 8 says, so they read in the book and the law of the Lord distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You know, it is important that we understand what we're reading. The concept of understanding is important. And Ezra was a scribe, and he explained the law. Understanding means the capability to distinguish between true and false, good and bad, what matters most and what does not matter at all. And so that's why this morning I've chosen a lesson called, Does It Make Any Difference What We Believe About the Bible? And in our introduction to this subject, does it make any difference what we believe about the Bible? Yes, it does make a difference about what we believe about the Bible. The Bible is a roadmap to heaven on a much more serious. We who are God's children are on a journey from earth to heaven. God has made it possible for us to make this journey by giving us his word that was written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and given to the apostles. On this journey, we are confronted with problems every day of our life, but God's word helps us to get through it. His word teaches us what we must do to be saved, how to live after we are saved, what to expect of us once we have come into the knowledge of the truth, to keep our relationship with the Father. There are some things we will have to give up, some things we do not want to hear or do, but this is the price of being a Christian. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105, the Bible says, the word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I'm hoping that everyone can see this. It may be a little small, but if you can't, then I would suggest that you move forward. The next time I'll try to get it a little bit more of a bigger words and things. You know, the key message, the Bible tells us of our origin in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It talks about the creation of the world and of man, the purpose Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, and it talks about the conclusion of the whole matter, the destiny. Matthew chapter 25 and the verses 4-6 talks about everlasting punishment and eternal life. It tells us how to live, to go to heaven in Titus 2 and the verses 14. And what that verse is saying, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The Bible, the word Bible is derived from a Greek word, which means being a revelation from God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it was about 40 people that God used to write the Bible. The first was Moses, and the last was John. And it was from Genesis to Revelation. But does the Bible apply for our time? There is a disregard for God in the Bible. Not only has much of Americans turned its back on biblical teaching, but also organized religion has increasingly come to believe the Bible is not the authorized book. What they're trying to do is keep tampering with God's word. They want to change something about God's word. But the word of God is not going to change. It's already in stone. Why so much emphasis about the Bible? God's word is the standard. This Bible that we read is the standard to be used to determine if we are teaching the will of God. We have to look into the word. That's what they did in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They examined the word daily. If the truth is not being taught, fellowship must not be extended. 2 John chapter 9, verse 9 and 11. The gospel is the means of God's having chosen to save the lost. We have to have a book that's going to tell us how to save the lost. Otherwise, we wouldn't have no purpose. Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 1:17-21. We are spiritually born by the word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22. And 23, Luke 8, verse 11. The word is the source of faith and means of reconciliation. In other words, to make peace or to restore back to friendship. Romans 10, 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And I have these scriptures up here, and if you would like, you can write them down and turn to them. The application of the scripture is seen in its completeness. The Bible is complete. The one faith, the one gospel system has been once for all delivered. Jude, verse 3. Ephesians 4:4. The scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. What the Bible says is right today. And what the Bible says is wrong today. It hasn't changed. For instance, the Bible teaches pure speech. Put spiritual things first. And living a holy life. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29. Also, 2 Corinthians 1, 7. Lying, stealing, and fornication are just as wrong today as they were in the first century. Revelation 21, verse 8. Also Ephesians 4, 28. The way of transgressors is hard. Proverbs 13 and 15. Man desperately needs guidance because man cannot guide himself. According to Jeremiah chapter 10 and the verses 23. We shall be judged by Jesus' word, the scriptures. That's what we're going to be judged by, this book. And John 12, 48 tells us so. Yes, the Bible apply to our day. The Bible has not changed and it will not change. Here at this congregation, there is a website that we have here. And there are a lot of different topics that you can go to study more from that. from A to Z. There are just some of the things that are on there. If you want to know something about abortion, but in today's society, people don't think anything about that. But God's word is against that. And these are topics right here that people need to know something about because it's wrong. What about marriage? We talk about marriage. We talked a little bit in this morning's class about marriage. Well, these are some scriptures here that we can study from right here to help us to understand what God think about those marriages. And when we put ourselves up against what is God's word is saying, then that means that we have to change something. Not change the Bible, but change how we think and what we do. What about discrimination? Racism? All of these things that are going on in society today. This website also has something about that. What about dress? How people ought to dress and the things that they do now. Disrespecting God. But does the Bible make any difference about, does it make any difference about what we believe about the Bible? The Bible? God ordained marriage. And this is just one of the topics right here from that website right there. And it's between a man and a woman. It's not good that the man, talking about Adam, should be alone. God said in Genesis 2, in the verses 18, notice the satisfaction of this loneliness. God created the woman, Eve, for Adam, verse 22. The woman is ideal and suited for man because she is bone for my bone and flesh for my flesh. Verse 23, she is also the helpmeet or the counterpart. Verse 26, she complements man emotionally, physically, psychologically. To put it simple, God did not create a man for a man, a woman for a woman. One product or design of marriage is children. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 28. Where the Bible also tells us to be fruitful and multiply. So same-sex marriages is not designed from God. But we see more and more of that happening in today's society. Who's right and who's wrong? If we go to God's word, we can, if we're honest with ourselves, see who is wrong. And we need to change that. But you know, thank God for his mercy. Because when we repent of those things, we can't be saved. However, those practicing that sin, along with drunkenness, idolatry, and all the other things that are listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 11, if you're practicing those things, there cannot be expected to go to heaven. So we have to change it. Now, there was some unexpected worship to God in the Bible. And most of us know the story of Nadab and Abihu. They were struck dead for failing to properly sanctify and glorify God. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, you can write these scriptures down and go over and check them out for yourself. David moved the ark without seeking the Lord's approval. Over in 1 Chronicles 13, 1 through 4, and also 7 through 13. Saul offered burnt offerings contrary to God's law and was rejected as king. In 1 Samuel 13, verses 8 through 14. And also where Saul disobeyed what the Lord told him to do. In 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 23. Jeroboam changed God's plan and caused the people to sin. We're going to talk a little bit more about that a little later on. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26 through 33. This was a wicked king. We worship God through his son, Jesus Christ. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and the verses 24. But you know, the religious world is divided. You know, we have different beliefs about different things. We have different doctrines about things. We have different practices about things. There are different churches, organization, maybe what I should say. And in those different beliefs there, some believe it doesn't make any difference as long as your heart is right. And what they do is they point to the heart that's pumping blood. It's not what the heart is talking about. It's talking about the mind here. There's a lot of false teaching under these doctrines here. People are preaching a lot of false doctrines when you go and you listen to what they have to say. And you don't have to go. You can turn on your TV or whatever, but there's a lot of false teaching out there. And Christians might get caught up in some of this. And then there's different practices where they say you can have it your way. You do it the way you want to do it. You your own guy. You the own man. Okay? The different churches, God loves everyone. This is some of the excuses or some of the things that they say. It doesn't make any difference what church you attend. Just as long as you go to church. It doesn't make any difference. But we know that the Bible is only talking about one church. And that brings me to another thought too. In the one true church, God expects his children to serve him the way he wants to be served. Because a lot of us in the church, we start going in different directions and start doing things that we want to do. But that's not the way God has planned it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." This is a great scripture right here. If we would take heed to it, if we could come and speak the same thing, if we see things the same way. But unfortunately, even in the church, as we mingle around other people, we start thinking things that, well, it could be better if we did it this way. And it's really bad to hear and to know that a lot of the churches of Christ has gone in some directions that God has not authorized. You know, we come up with the idea of the women preaching and teaching and in some kind of way. They may not be up in the pulpit or whatever, but in some kind of way they are doing something that God has not authorized. And then there's also the situation too, where we're going to only have church one time a day. The evening, we don't have to worry about that. As long as you're here in the mornings, we're okay. We're all right. But as far as the evening, we're not going to have an evening service. But the way that I understand this, and I may be wrong if I am, someone correct me, that the morning and the evening is one day here. And we need to be here unless there is some kind of way or something, some reason why we're not here. But we do need to be here worshiping God this day. This is his day. You know, a popular concept, I can't think of the word, is faith alone. All you got to do is just believe in the Lord. But you know, doing that, God has a part and some scriptures where God plays a part in saving us. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we're saved by God. In Titus 3, verse 5, we're saved by his mercy. In Matthew 1, verses 21, we're saved by Jesus. In Romans 5, verses 29, we're saved by the blood of Jesus. And then there's the gospel part, the part we're talking about, the good news here. Some of the scriptures what we teach, teaching plays a part in our salvation. In Acts chapter 11, verse 14, who shall tell thee words? We have to hear something about being saved. That's why we have this Bible. In James 1, 21 and 22, we're saved by the word and doers of the word. Let me repeat that. James 1, 21, 22. Saved by the word and be doers of the word. In other words, when we read something, we have to do this. We have to follow through with that. Not just to say what is here and then just look at it and go on. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verses 10, we're saved by the truth. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verses 2, we're saved by the gospel if you hold fast. The good news, if we hold fast to what God's word is teaching us. Another popular concept is man's part also too. In some of the scriptures where we play a part in our salvation, Hebrews chapter 5 and the verses 9, we're saved by obedience. It doesn't do us any good if we don't obey what the scriptures are saying. In Acts 2:38, we're saved by repentance, baptism, and baptism. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 39, we're saved by belief, confession, and baptism. And in Revelation 2:10, we're also saved by being faithful unto death. We can't just say, okay, well, I'm saved. And a lot of people do that. They'll say, I'm saved, but then they don't want to obey what God's word has told us to do. We just saved, and that's it. But we have to do what God has told us to do also, too. Luke 17, verse 10 says, so likewise, ye when ye have done all those things which commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty. And that's why we need to be about God's word all the time and not get to a point where we're comfortable. We don't have to do anything else. I'm saved now, so that's it. I can come to church if I want to. If I don't want to, I don't have to. I don't have to get involved in anything in God's word or his doing his will. And that's what we need to do, is do his will. And we're unprofitable servants if we've done when we do something, just say to ourselves, we are unprofitable servants, and we have done only our duty. But there is a barrier to the gospel. There is something that blocks us. The gospel cannot get through because one of the devil's most effective tools, no need to study. Sometimes we don't pick up the Bible. We don't read anything from God's word. And this is one of the things that we definitely stress with new babes in Christ, that you have to study God's word. The Bible tells us to study. This knowledge is not going to pop into your hand, into your mind. It's not going to pop into your mind, but we have to study it. There are some issues that are trivial. All these things right here don't really make too much difference. You know, you can just, I'm a good person. And that's all you have to say, is I'm a good person. The Bible doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. Some people just feel comfortable. Well, I feel okay. There's no need for me to study. I don't have to get involved in anything, like I said before. And then there are some that say, let's have a church social. If we get a lot of people together, then we can just have a social and we can get to know everybody and everybody's feeling good. We can go home feeling good. And then there are those that leave the Bible out of their everyday life. We can't leave the Bible out because we have God's word. And these are things that we must live by. But should we trust the Bible to be our guide to heaven? Do we have any trust in it? man has tampered with it so many times. And these things right here with the Bible, some people say the Bible is too hard to understand. Yet the early church understood God's word, and they did something to keep their relationship with the Father. That's your interpretation of the scripture. We've gotten into conversation with people over the years, and you tell them something about baptism, or if you tell them something about the Lord's Supper, well, that's your interpretation right there of what the Bible is about. On yesterday, I was at a place where I saw a man bring in the Lord's Supper to another person. I didn't get a chance to talk with this individual, but I pray that the Lord would bless me to have a conversation with the individual. He went through a lot of the things. Well, he went through all the things that we do here on the first day of the week. But he did it on yesterday. And I was kind of busy at the time, and he got away from me. So perhaps maybe in the future, maybe we can have a conversation about that. He seemed like he was a sincere person, but he didn't have the right understanding of what God's word is saying. And that has to do a lot of times with that's your interpretation of the scripture. The Bible was written by men and not God. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit was the one that had that wrote the Bible. And the Holy Spirit used these men. They were guided by the Holy Spirit to write down these things that he wanted wrote down. There are too many translations to be reliable. I know Alan did a little survey a little while back about these different translations, and it's good to talk with people who put their faith and trust in certain translations of the Bible, because perhaps maybe there are some translation that they have tampered with and they're using and they're saying something may be left out. Now, I guess with me, I have Old King James, I have New King James, I have ASV, I have a lot of those different translations of the Bible, but I stick with the Old King James and also the New King James mostly is what I will allude to. Some believe that the Quran is just as inspiring as you believe the Bible is. When you talk with a lot of Muslims, they feel like that the Quran. But that's not true, because there are a lot of things in the Quran where some man put that in there, and they're doing things that are contrary to what God's word is saying. And then there are some that says, I feel I'm okay without the Bible. I don't need the Bible. I'm a good person. I don't rob anybody. I don't cheat. I don't steal. So I don't need the Bible. But my friend, if you don't need the Bible, then why do we have it? Because it's not right for me to use the Bible and you don't have to. So what are you saying here? That you have more knowledge about who God is and what he has done, what he is doing, without reading the Bible? Something's wrong with this. The Bible doesn't say that you can't. There are a lot of things that the Bible may not say outright, but it teaches a lot of things. And whenever we understand the teachings of God's word, then we would want to go that way rather than going on what our ideas, our thoughts, and opinions are about it. We have God's word. That settles it right there. Whether you believe it, whether I believe it, anybody else, it's already been settled way before we were even thought of. And so many people are coming along now. They feel like that, well, I know it all now. I don't need all of this right here, because I'm going to figure out how I can live forever and how I can save myself. Well, Methuselah, as I know, was the oldest person that ever lived. So you're saying to me, that you're going to outlive Methuselah. He died at some point. So anybody else that's coming along is going to do the same thing. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 21 says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, someone that says to me, and I've had people say this, the Lord told me this, or the Lord told me that. In other words, what we're saying here is that the Lord has more for you than he do for anybody else. In other words, he has told you something he didn't tell me. So he has a respecter of person, which we know that the Lord doesn't have any respecter of person. For prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to do with all of this. And man come along and they teach something that is foreign to what God is saying. Now, it does make a difference what we believe. Will this popular concept work in other areas of our life? It does make a difference what we believe. What about in business? You know, some people that may have had business or whatever, you understand what goes on in business. If you invest in a business, believing it's a good investment, you can lose all of your money if you don't investigate. In other words, if you're going to go into any kind of business, you want to find out what the people are wanting in that area right there. You know, how is the sales or what's going on there in that area right there? You don't want to invest in some, invest all your money, and then the business go blank. And I've seen it happen a lot of times. And it's happened even right now in a lot of big businesses that's been going on. What about your health? You know, our health is important. If you drink a glass of liquid, believing it to be water, you can die if it's really poisoning. These things right here is very important to all of us. So it does make a difference about what we believe and what we do. We have an objective standard also too that we want to live by. An objective standard is something that is directed towards your goal or achieve. That's what an objective is. God's word is a fixed standard. It does make a difference what we believe. What about what is written here? In the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, and just briefly touching on that scripture right there, Jesus, who raised up Jesus, shall raise us up by Jesus also too, if we are devoted to what God's word is saying. What about an oracle of God in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11? When we speak, our minister, we glorify God through his son, Jesus the Christ. God is that fixed standard here. What about the commandments? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. The things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, God has already commanded us to do some things. And that's what Paul is saying right here too. The things I write to you, you are commanded of the Lord to do also. What about the word of God? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse is 13. The word spoken by God is what this is talking about also too. What about inspired scriptures? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. What about the words chosen by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. The things they received of the Spirit, they spoke to the world. This is how others learn the truth. As they got the word, they spoke it. It was written down through the Holy Spirit. So that's how we got the word also too. And what he wants us to do is pass this word on to someone else if they are willing to listen to what we have to say. The difference is made. In John 8, in the verses 24 says, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sin. Some people don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe in Christ, sins are forgiven. If we stay obedient, heaven can be our home. Now, if we do not believe in Christ, we're going to die in our sins. Luke chapter 13 and the verses 3. So basically, it's pretty well simple. You either believe in Christ or you don't believe in him. And what's going to happen is if you don't believe, you're going to die in your sins. And in believing in Christ too, we're going to have to obey what he has told us to do in his word. And we'll get into something else it's more to it than just believing. The devil also believes too, but it's more to it. And then if we do what we are supposed to do, then we can be a candidate to go to heaven, or we can go to heaven. Now, in this part of the message right here, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 10 through 12, you have some negative and some positive words. And I want to go over here to Second Thessalonians here. And I want to read something from that scripture. Most of us know what it's about anyway. In verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11 says, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believeth not the truth, but has pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what this verse is talking about. So in this part of the scripture right here, it's talking about some positive words and some negative words. On the lie side, deceived, not the love of the truth, delusion, believe a lie, not believe the truth. Well, in verse 12, pleasure in unrighteousness, verse 12. Perish in verse 10, condemn in verse 12. But now on the truth side, those who love the truth, verse 10, believe the truth, verse 12, they're saved. There is a story, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, about a warning of a man of God. And I'm going to turn back here to 1 Kings chapter 13. And just to kind of bring us up to speed here and what's going on here, as we talked earlier about Jeroboam. Jeroboam in chapter 12 right here, this man was a very wicked person right here. And he took counsel and he made two calves. Here, and I'm going to kind of skip around here too for time purposes right here too. Make two calves of gold and said to them to go to Jerusalem, because he didn't want them to go to Jerusalem. So what he did was he set up one in Dan and one in Bethel. and he wanted the people to go down to Dan or Bethel to make worship. And they made the house high priest, verse 31 right there, and made priests and the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levite. And Jeroboam ordained the feast in the eighth month. He did a lot of things right here. So as I go over to chapter 13 in verse 1 right here, where it says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar and burned incense. And this was something that they weren't supposed to be doing. In verse 4 right there, and it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And when he stretched out his hand, he couldn't draw it back. And in verse 6 right here, the king answered, saying, I want you to pray now to your God, and that you would ask him to restore me again. And the man of God sought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored with him and became as it was. So as a result of this right here, in verse 7 right here, the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself. Verse 8, the man of God, if thou would give me half of thine house, I will not go with thee to drink any water, or eat bread, or anything. For I was charged, or it was charged me, the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn again the same way that thou came. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Okay, everything was going pretty good in the story so far. But you know, the devil has a way of finding out some things about who you are, what you're dealing with. Verse 11 says, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and he had two sons. And his sons was there as all of this was going on. And so his sons came back and they told their father what had happened. So verse 12 says, and their father said unto them, which way did he go? And they said, they would saddle him an ass or a donkey after they had told his father which way he went. You know, this man of God did not get out of Bethel fast enough, because it said the man of God found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said, are thou the man of God that camest from Jerusalem? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return thee this way, nor with thee to eat any bread or to drink any water in this place. And it goes on to say in verse 17 right there, says, for it was said to me. In other words, this man knew what was told him to do and what not to do. It was said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread or drink no water there, nor turn again and go by the way that thou came. In verse 18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And the angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. In other words, this man put an angel ahead of God. This man of God knew that he shouldn't be doing what this person told him to do. So the angel and the prophet said unto him that you need to come back. And that's what he did. He obeyed something that someone told him to do. And as a result of that, the last part of this right here is what we see in verse 22. Well, not the last part, but it says, it came to pass as he eat bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord had did say to eat no bread or drink any water, thy coffin shall not come into the sepulchre of thy father. So this man ate his last meal in verse 23. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and drink, that he saddled his donkey, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. So we see here in this story that this man did good for a while, but he shouldn't have yielded to temptation, as you might say. In verse 13 through 10, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, as I've already read. Verse 9 says, for so was it charged me by the word of the God, of the Lord, saying, eat no bread or drink no water, nor return the same way that you came. So he went another way. And then in 18 through 20, the man lied to him. This old prophet lied to him. He disobeyed what God wanted him to do. And the moral of this is truth. The truth part is, do not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return the same way. The lie part of it is, bring him back to the house so that he might eat bread and drink water. And as a result, this man was slain by this lion. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Sin and judgment of the prophet. This prophet had been given strict orders from God not to eat or to drink anything while on this mission. He died because he listened to a man who claimed to have a message from God rather than God himself. This prophet should have followed God's word instead of hearsay. Trust what God's word says rather than what someone else claimed is true, and disregard what others claim are messages from God if their word contradicts what the Bible is saying. You know, even clear warnings are hard to obey. The Bible is full with stories of people who had direction from God and yet chose their own way. Their disobedience was rarely due to ignorance of what God wanted. Rather, it grew out of stubbornness and selfishness. And as we continue reading the story, we know that Jeroboam was consistent with what he was doing. Our practice must be authorized by the word of God according to the pattern which is in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, in the name of the Lord, Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, and by the rules in Philippians 3 verses 16 and 17. The differences it makes. Our practice affects our fellowship with God. In 2 John 9, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And it also affects our eternal salvation. In Matthew 7, 22 and 23, men will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name has cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It makes a difference what we practice. If not, we can do anything we want to do. There are people who worshipers of this great Buddhist god. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't bow down to this Nebuchadnezzar statue. Otherwise, we can do immoral acts as worship. We can do anything that we want to do in our worship. The attempt to separate the gospel from the teachings of the church is an attempt to open up a floodgate of acceptance of any and every belief. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 said, But God be thanks that we were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, there's a contrary doctrine, to be rejected. In Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, contrary doctrines compared to what you were taught. We need to avoid that. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, contrary gospels compared to what was preached to you. You preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're preaching a lot of other doctrines and sermons. What can the gospel do? Here's another story right here of Sergius Paulus. And he was a non-believer designed to hear the word of God in Acts chapter 13 and verses 6 and 7. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was by Jesus, and which that means a magician, which was the deputy of the country. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. This would be the gospel which is able to save in Romans 1, chapter 16, verse 16, rather. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But notice he was amazed at the teaching and what had happened. And verse 11, actually, is really what took place in Acts chapter 13, verses 10 through 12. And he was astonished. Now, the Bible doesn't really say that he was baptized, but he was astonished at what had taken place, because Paul fixed his eyes on this magician right here, and he told him that he was someone who didn't believe in righteousness. And for that reason, he was blinded. And this man was astonished at what had taken place. Now, there are some good and some bad consequences. If it doesn't make any difference, it doesn't matter whether one believed or not. It doesn't make any difference whether one believed the Bible. What the Bible says is unimportant. What God said is unimportant. If it does make a difference, then I need to know the truth. John 8, verses 32. I need to study and examine what I am taught. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Search the scriptures daily. I need to obey the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22. I need to be careful. In Ephesians 5, and verses 15. Some shall depart from the word, despite all the warnings not to add or to take from God's word throughout the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, Proverbs 30 and 6, Revelations 22, 18, man has departed from it, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul stated, "For this time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables." 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. Peter also stated that these false teachers will twist their own to their own destruction, his writing as well as the rest of the scripture, 2 Peter 3 and verses 16. You know, in the Old Testament, Isaiah in 30:10, where it was saying, "Prophesy not unto us right things, but smooth things." In Jeremiah 15, verses 30 and 31, "Prophesy, the prophets prophesy falsely. Priests bear rules. My people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end thereof?" There are a lot of people who want to hear things that is false. How have people departed from God's word? Some outright reject the Bible as a guide to heaven, because what they want to do is they want to say, that these books, there are some books that will help out with the understanding of God's word better. When we read the Bible, it's communicating to us the will of the writings form. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 21, the Holy Spirit guided those who wrote by inspiration. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. When he says something in the Bible, it is true. That is, it is impossible for God to lie. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Distinguishing truth from error. Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is true. John 17:17. This produces faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. Revelation 21:8. I have that scripture up there. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible doesn't say, but the Bible doesn't say. And the Bible doesn't say you can't. In Psalms chapter 18, verse 30, as for God, his ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. In other words, it's been proven. He is a buckler or a shield to all those that trust in him. Paul wrote to the churches of Corinth that women were not to preach in the assembly, yet many groups allow women to in the pulpit, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. Often when God gives command, it is disregarded. Paul said, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Colossians 2 and verses 28. But God had a plan to save man. And on the road to Damascus right here is one of those plans that God had. And as we see here in Acts chapter 22, verse 6 through 26 right there, where he came in contact with Ananias. And Ananias says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sin and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, what we believe about the Bible will make a difference in where we will spend eternity. Abraham Lincoln perhaps summed it all up best when he wrote, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Plan of salvation, we are to hear God's word, and those are the scriptures for that. We are to believe God's word, we are to repent of our sins, confess the sweetest name of mortal tongue. We are to be baptized, and the purpose of baptism is for the remission of sin. And then we have to remain faithful and stand fast to God's word. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what we want to know about why it's so important for us to believe what the Bible is saying. So if there's one this morning who has something that is on their hearts, and if you need to come forward, you have an opportunity to do so, and the brethren here will pray for you, whatever needs to be taken care of, as together we stand and sing this song of invitation.